Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of The Playlist. This time, we have yet another interview we'd like to share with you, dear listeners. On this episode, we speak to none other than Joe Taslim, one of the stars of Warner Brothers' new video game adaptation, Mortal Kombat. For those unaware, Mortal Kombat is a film based on the video game franchise of the same name and features a wide variety of colorful heroes and villains that do battle in a tournament that will decide the fate of the world. In this new film, Taslim plays Sub-Zero, one of the most iconic characters in the franchise and a major force in the film. Folks might know Taslim for his work over the years as one of the best action stars around the world. He really broke out in a big way a decade ago thanks to his role in Gareth Evans' action masterpiece, The Raid. He also starred in one of the best action films of the past 5 years, The Night Comes for Us. And in addition, you can see him show up in Fast and Furious 6, Star Trek Beyond, and the underrated Cinemax, now HBO Max series Warrior. In our discussion, we talk about Mortal Kombat, obviously, including his love of the franchise that dates back to when he was a kid playing the video game. We also talked about The Raid and it's celebrating its 10-year anniversary and what it's like being part of a film that's regarded as one of the best action movies of all time. And finally, I do bring up Double Impact, which is a callback to a recent episode we did where we all pitched action film remakes. I actually, during that episode, pitched a remake of Double Impact, the Jean-Claude Van Damme classic. But this time I put Joe Taslim in the leading role. And of course, I had to mention it to him, so you might be surprised about his reaction when I tell him the idea. But before I throw it to the interview, I got to tell you the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. So stick around, listen to our interview with Joe Taslim, where I'm joined by my regular co-hosts, Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farver. Enjoy. I want to thank Joe Taslim for joining us on the Playlist Podcast to discuss Mortal Kombat. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The pleasure all mine.
Oh, no, it's ours. Trust me. Before we get to the new ultra R-rated Mortal Kombat, I know you're roughly the same age as we are. So I'm wondering if you were obsessed with the techno theme song from the original movie like we were.
Of course.
Yeah.
And did you
like, and every morning, did you like,
old.
Yeah. Did you like blare it every morning when you were getting ready to get on set?
Yeah. I mean, like I listened to like in the trailer, I think I remember I brought my speaker all the time and my PlayStation with Mortal Kombat games, Mortal Kombat XL. I remember. So that soundtrack is kind of like for us to start the day, especially early morning call. So remember my trailer is beside Raiden, beside Tadanobu Asano's trailer. So he's probably like, is that too loud? No, it's good. And continue. So yeah, we had a lot of fun. And then I remember like, it's not just the song. I brought my PS4, brought to the set. And while waiting, I, you know, like Kung Lao, Ludi, Cole Young, Lewis, Tadanobu, maybe Hiroki Sanada. He doesn't know how to play game. I don't know, but he wasn't there. But most of us played the game together.
And that's awesome. Was,
I know the game already, so I'm good. You cannot fight me. Or you just fight me in real life.
When you're asked to play Sub-Zero in a Mortal Kombat film, is it like instant yes? Or unlike me, did you just have a level of self-control required to ask follow-up questions and not scream "fuck yeah" at the top of your lungs?
Fuck yeah! Well, it was instant yes for sure. Well, you're gonna beat me when I say you. Okay, it's okay to swear, right?
Yeah, totally. Go fine. For it. Totally.
Yeah. Fuck yes. Fuck yes. It's so good to say that. When my agent called me and then asked, "Hey, Warner Bros. Is doing Mortal Kombat, and then they wanted you to play Sub-Zero," I was like, but I gotta keep it cool with, oh yeah, okay, can we do something? But actually I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I grew up playing this game. Are you kidding me? So, but I'm like, yeah, but we're going to get you the script. And then I'm like, but deep inside, I was like, I don't really care. You know, I want to play my hero. I want to play my hero. And I know I can play this character. I know I can give justice to the character. I can give more than just cool fight scenes. I can give this character heart. I just knew it. So I'm glad that, you know, they decided to go with me or they didn't change their mind.
You know, you're very well versed in action choreography at this point? And how much preparation did you have to do for a role like this? I mean, did you have a hand in any of the fight choreography? Were you ever like, guys, I was in the raid. I got this. Like, what was it like?
Well, I didn't have the guts to say that. You know, for me, you know, every project I've been so far, I don't know. It's just me. I always respect, respect is part of my life here. I used to be a judoka for 12 years. So it's very Japanese value of life is like hard in my brain. I always come to the project, you know, even though if I disagree, I always try to like, are you sure you want to do this? But, you know, this, I always delivered whatever is that in a very soft way. But luckily in this one, I think Chan Griffin, Anthony, they were amazing choreographers. And they are amazing choreographers and they were great in throughout the process. So they always kind of like came up to me, said like, do you want to change anything? I was honest, I was like, there's nothing to change. Mm-hmm. There's nothing because you guys did, especially, you know, the part that he frees the blood and stab it back and just go stab it back and it looked there and mm-hmm. So that part, I mean, like, when I heard about that idea, I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't even think about that. I mean, like, mm-hmm. That's so crazy because it's connected to his power. It doesn't feel push, you know? It doesn't feel like, oh, for the sake of coolness and badass, let's do this. Because it's his skill to freeze anything. And then if you can freeze part of the opponent's liquid or blood and then stab it back to his body, you know, when Scorpion said, get over here, and then you get back there.
One of the things I noticed that really stood out to me with the power was the shotgun blast. Like when he stops like a shotgun blast and you see the burst, I was like, oh, I've never even thought about that, but that's really cool.
Yeah, they're crazy, crazy talented. The question before, I didn't change anything. It's all them. Well, I mean, they tried to probably, if it's right leg or right kick or left, it's just that. I mean, like, which one are you left? Are you left-handed? Which one? It's only like technical stuff for the camera that we need to adjust. But the choreography itself, it just choreographs really, really, I mean, like, beautifully. I gotta like give, you know, this to them, and you know, this sort of kung fu awesome. Respect yeah. to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the film is filled with just all sorts of violence and blood and gore. Like you were saying, like you literally stab somebody with their own blood. So you have to think that there weren't very many things left on the cutting room floor, but I got to ask, was there like a scene that you shot as Sub-Zero that was just too much and you're like, okay, they can't put this in there, or any like deleted scenes where you're like, okay, we're hardcore, but not that hardcore.
Well, I supported every idea so far in terms of violence because, you know, the old movies that I did kind of like in that direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to be honest, I played the game. The game is even more violent. So what they did in the movie, still respecting and give justice to the game. But of course, in the movie and the game is two different worlds because in the game, fantasy, it's just unlimited. You can just go whatever you want to go. But in the movie, we have continuity. We have, you know, this is, you know, a real human character. Because in the game, when you play a character, the character, something happened in the first minute of the game, and then he just got, you know, he just get up and then fight again. But in the movie, when I break someone's hand, it needs to, you know, the hand needs to break. It cannot just heal by itself. We need to give reason. So, well, what they did with all those logic and then explanation, they did amazing in terms of violence. It's, I think it's very hard to top it. Well, we can top it in the sequel, but
So I want to get back to the raid for a moment because the raid's turning 10 this year. It's been very kind to everybody involved. You know, a lot of people involved have used it as kind of a springboard to other things and other projects. And did you know at the time that you were making that film, that you were making something special? And really, how does it feel to look back on that time, you know, a decade later?
Well, Well, The Raid was my first action movie. I did two other movies, but they weren't action. So it was my first action movie. I was like 10 years younger. And then, well, we didn't know, to be honest. We didn't know. But we trusted Gareth so much in the process. Me, Iko, Yayan, it didn't feel like a movie industry. It felt like in the Shaolin training that you just believe in your sensei, you know. You just believe in your sifu, whatever he said, like, do it again. Again, it was like, oh, it's already 50 takes and you want to do it again? Yeah, do it again. We were just like, yeah, let's do it. So we believed in our director immensely. And then somehow halfway in the movie, he told us that, okay, this movie just sold like globally. And I said, but we haven't finished the movie. Yeah, but they love what they saw. Like half of the movie, they want to, you know, Sony want to be part of it. And then it's just crazy. And then at that point, I kind of like have this, oh, we're doing something pretty cool, eh?
People are actually going to watch it.
Yeah. But after I saw it the first time in Toronto Film Festival, 2011, I was still like, you know, like on and off. And then the movie, they played the movie, the first time they played the movie. And then straight away after that night, midnight, it was like, you know, trending topics in North America. We were like, me and Nico, we were like busy checking on Twitter because a lot of mentions, right? And we were like, oh, what is this? Oh, one by one, man. Because you remember, we didn't sleep the whole night. It was like, Gareth, see this. It was, you know what? That moment, probably one of the best happiness in my life. Because it was the first time for me to have all the, you know, all this positive energy. People respect the work. It's just crazy. Well,
it's a great movie. And
thank you for asking. It brought me back to that moment that we and Nico was in the room just checking on the message.
Good.
So let's talk about the English language remake that they keep trying to do over and over again. Clearly, film has become iconic. But as someone that isn't American, what do you think Hollywood's insistence on remaking great movies for English language audiences? What do you think about that situation? And can they capture the magic of The Raid? Do you think that's something that, I think that's lightning in a bottle. I don't know if they're doing the right thing.
Well, I worked in Hollywood movies and I'm still working in Indonesia. I kind of like live my career kind of like in a both worlds, which is totally different the way we shoot movies and a rules wise, because in Hollywood, well, it's great to have rules, the limitations, you cannot work over hours and then you cannot do dangerous stuff. But in Asia, generally, in Asia, we have more flexibility. We work longer. We can go a bit crazy, a bit dangerous. So to shoot like we shot in The Raid with like 30, 40 takes, punch to the face or kick to the body, I think it's illegal to do it in Hollywood, man.
Yeah, man. Too many lawyers.
Whoever try to produce this, they're gonna go to jail because it's just different world. And I love working in Indonesia the way like that, because there's still a lot of upside because the flexibility gives you more creativity. So we work long hours. You can just, you know, cook it until you know it's right before you move to the another shot. But in because we have more hours and more flexibility, like I said. Well, it's just two different. Well, I cannot be compared, I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And before we let you go, I have to take a bit of a selfish moment here. If you haven't gathered by now, we're three huge fans of yours with The Raid. Yeah. And I love The Night Comes for Us. I think that's a masterpiece. So your name has come up quite a bit in our discussions on the podcast. And time recently it was brought up, I was thinking about actors that I wanted to remake 90s action movies. And your name came up because I don't know if you know this movie, so you probably don't, but have you ever heard of the Jean-Claude Van Damme film Double Impact?
Yo, I'm a huge fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I know Double Impact. I know I watched a lot of, I think most of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I grew up watching a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme in theater because he's huge in Asia. He's huge in, he was, I think he's still a legend now, but when he was younger, he was like different, probably Jason Statham level.
Yeah, yeah.
For now, for kids nowadays. I mean, he's a legend, man. I watch.
So can you remake Double Impact?
Double Impact, me playing myself?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. You and your twin brother.
Me fighting myself.
Yes. And then Timo directing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we can make it happen, you know?
I don't even need a cut.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Timo. I'll call him after this, you know, we're like brothers. I'm gonna
please
I'm gonna
do
call him and ask, like, do you know Double Impact? Do you want to remake it? And then let me fight myself. Yeah, there's the, we can have no limitation to do that because I'm just, you know, fighting myself. So yeah, that's a good idea. Double Impact. I love it. I love Double Impact. Nowhere to Run, Hard Target. Oh, they're all my favorite movies.
Great, great. So we have to wrap up, and I want to thank you again for talking with us about Mortal Kombat, which we all agree is a fun Thanks video you. Game, a very bloody movie, and shows off what you can do pretty well. So thank you, Joe, for joining us. And
thank you, Mike, Brian.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody go check out Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Okay. Stay safe. Take care.